Time for the sports page, man. We got a lot to do, a lot to talk about.
And the Mets had blown it in the 13th inning. Papers can't make losing look like winning. I think the Phillies took it 5-4. There it was on the sports page. Only page that takes a firm position. Kind of like an honest politician. The kind you hardly find anymore. In fact, let's face it. The sports page is the only place to go when a fella wants to know the score.
When a fella and a gal want to know the score. That should be how that song goes, but that is an old, old song. It's time for the sports page, joined by Fred Friedman and Kyle Erickson. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, John.
Well, I don't know if it is a good morning. So we have, first of all, we have to start off with Minnesota sports is not going very well. The Lynx got crushed the other night. Very competitive, but they have some players coming back. But let's start with the Minnesota Twins. Don't know much positive to say, but one thing is you cannot blame it on starting pitching. Kyle, you start.
Kenta Maeda was better this season than they had any right to expect him to be. So we'll focus on the positive. He is great in his playoff start. There was a lot of armchair manager speculation that Baldelli pulled him too early and unnecessarily, which I tend to agree with. But that's the formula that got him into first place all year. You get 5 or 6 innings out of Maeda and turn it over to a bullpen that, with the exception of Romo and Rogers, Romo down the stretch, had been really good. Jose Berríos, who had really struggled in the playoffs earlier in his career, was terrific. Again, you could probably make an argument that there really wasn't any reason to pull him when he got pulled. And both games the bullpen let him down. But, and I know Fred will probably wildly disagree with me on this, I am absolutely bullish on the Twins' bullpen. They need adjustments at the margins, not a total blow-up. They're young guys. Matt Whistler, Jorge Alcala, Cody Stashek. Tyler Duffy has become one of the best relievers in all of baseball. They've got a lot of good stuff going for them. They just need to replace the soft tossers like Sergio Romo with another power arm or two, and I really, really believe they're going to be fine.
Fred?
I like the starting pitching. I thought Maeda was tremendous. Berríos was better than he's ever been in the playoffs before. Kyle's right. I'm not big on Akiya. He doesn't throw enough strikes. I'm not ready to even have him on the roster. Worried about Stashek? I don't know. Romo's got to go. He walked 2 people in clutch situations to the end of the year with the bases loaded. When you walk somebody with the bases loaded in a playoff game at home, you cannot get a contract. I don't care. You can't go.
They got him for
a polarizing figure. He's got to leave. He's not good enough. And I'm very, very worried about Taylor Rogers, who is not effective. They're hitting his fastball. His curveball's not biting. He may be on the lower end of his career, believe it or not.
So what we've stuck to this. They've stuck to the plan. It's all the statistics and stuff. But as an opposing coach, I mean, the Twins were all set. They knew what they were going to do. They're going to try and get 5 or 6 out of Maeda. Then they're going to go to Mays. Then they're going to go to Duffy. Then they're going to go to Romo. And then they're going to go to Rogers. Why not? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's all speculation, but it seemed like in the older days, I'm not saying a pitcher needed to go 9 innings, but he was doing well. Why don't you let him stay out there until he gives up a hit or gives up a run? I just don't understand it. And you're right, Romo, they got him for experience and leadership. He's been in all kinds of playoffs. And Rogers, holy smokes, I just don't know what to say about him. But here's the deal. Good pitching beats good hitting. We had 4 hits.
Every time.
4 hits. 4 yep. hits yep. in 18 innings.
It was terrible.
It's small solace, but it's worth noting, I think, that the Twins hit a handful of absolute lasers in key situations with runners on base that either got hit right at people or that Houston made good plays on. They still have to put better at-bats together. They cannot be... Miguel Sano struck out in half of his at-bats this year. Half. I get that he's on the roster for power, but they cannot have a team of hitters that is all pull-happy. And Fred, like you've pointed out, chasing a meaningless solo home run all the time and giving away free outs. Miguel Sano is a really effective hitter when his swings aim to hit the ball between left center and right center. And when he's trying to pull every pitch down the line, all it is slider away, slider away, slider away, and send him to bed. And so they've got some really tough decisions to make about, do they think they can rehabilitate Miguel Sano's approach? Do they think that they can get Mitch Garver back to what he was last year? Or they need to imagine a different future for some of those positions?
They pitched well enough to win against a team that did not win half their games this year. That's just the way it is. I'm done with Sano. Cut him, give him away, whatever. You cannot play somebody that strikes out half the time. You cannot play somebody that all he is doing is hunting that 500-foot, 480-foot home run a couple of times a month. It's not good enough to play. They got all kinds of people in the minors they can bring up. And I'll tell you something else the fans aren't going to like, all right? I am trading, giving away Eddie Rosario for one thing, at least one thing. He's the head's not in the game. He doesn't know the rules. When you get kicked out of a playoff game at home, when you are the cleanup hitter, you're gone. He does not have control of himself. Of course, he got the ball strike. The guy was wide and inconsistent. You cannot kick yourself out of the game. That means you are not taking care of your teammates. You're not thinking about them. You're thinking about their emotions.
I think about Sano. I think about Sano every time he walks to the dugout after he strikes out and he kind of lollygags in there. And I mean, you cannot have a player that strikes out 50% of the at-bats. I don't care. I don't care about anything. I mean,
That's exactly right.
He's played a good first base. You got to give him a little credit like that. He made that change, but he just doesn't hit the ball. And you said, well, Kyle, you said, well, hopefully they'll teach him how to, or he'll abide by the rules to try and use the whole field and put the ball in play. Well, that's been going on for 3 or 4 years, and obviously that's not going to change.
Yeah, I think you're right. The nice thing is they've got options for the future. So Brent Rooker, one of their highly touted rookies, looked fantastic when he got called up before, unfortunately, he was hit by a pitch and broke a bone in his hand or wrist. But he's going to be part of their plans next year. They called up, and this blew my mind, but the kid actually looked really good. They called up their top prospect, Alex Kirilloff, for the playoff games and gave him a start yesterday, and he made a really nice play in the outfield. He put together some really good swings. So the nice thing is it's not like they're completely handcuffed and they need to pray that they can find free agent help to fill some of these gaps. They've got young talent that is ready to plug and play, and we'll probably see Royce Lewis coming up at some point next year too, their first round draft pick from a few years ago. So, it was a really frustrating way to end the season. But I'm honestly, guys, I'm really optimistic. I'm grateful we got to watch this baseball. They had a great regular season. They've got really good young talent coming up, and like I said, I think it's more making some smart adjustments. It's not like they need to blow the whole thing up and rebuild like our Minnesota Vikings do.
Max Kepler, 0 for 16. That doesn't happen.
How about Garver, 0 for the season? They were talking about giving him a long-term contract. Now he can't even start in the playoffs. They put in a kid right out of the University of North Carolina, Wilmington, to catch over him. I don't share the optimism. There's several serious changes that they have to make. And let's say it how it is. Let me just ask one question to everybody, all right? Who holds the world professional record for most consecutive playoff losses? I'm counting lacrosse in Cyprus. I'm counting rugby in Ceylon. I'm counting cricket in Pakistan. Who holds the planet record for most consecutive losses in the playoffs, guys.
The Minnesota Twins are becoming the Washington Generals of the Major League Baseball playoffs.
Okay, we got to get to trivia because we got to get out of here. But first of all, I want to say something, and let's address it more next week. But the strike zone, there's, you know, there used to be the best umpires, but now it's spread out so much because there's so many games. But the umpiring was atrocious as far as balls and strikes. And I can tell you, I watched the Yankees game. I bet there are 30 incorrect calls per game on balls and strikes. I think we're going to go.
Right,
I think we're going to technology. I think we're going to technology.
I fear you are correct.
Okay, the last time the Twins won a playoff series was in 2002. What team did they defeat?
Detroit in one game? Athletics.
Yep.
Oakland, yeah.
They upset the Oakland A's 3-2 and win the division that year. Who was the winning pitcher in two of the three Twins victories against the A's that year?
Santana.
Brad Radke?
Brad Radke.
Oh, that's great.
The Twins went on to play the Angels in the AL Championship Series, which they lost 4-1. A different right-hander was the Twins' winning pitcher in their one victory over the Angels. Who was it?
Mays.
Yeah, how in the world do you know that? I don't even like
Joe Mays.
Joe Mays. Mays gave up one earned run over 8 innings. Eddie Guardado got the save. Who was the Twins' Eddie got the save.
Eddie Cordero would not have walked somebody in a playoff.
I know, absolutely.
That's the truth.
Who was the Twins' designated hitter for most of that year?
Big Poppy, David Ortiz, before they made the biggest mistake in franchise history.
And as soon as the season was done, they sent him off. 2002 was the Angels' first and only American League pennant and World Series wins. Who did they defeat in the World Series that year?
Giants.
Nice job, man.
That's the famous play. You guys remember that? That's the famous play with Dusty Baker's little boy was the bad boy.
Yeah.
And he almost had a horrible collision at home. And Snow had to pick him up and just almost avoid a monster collision. Remember that?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Okay, we got about 1 minute to describe the Minnesota Vikings. Fred first.
So it kind of reminds me of how Jake Tapper described the first presidential debate. What did he call it? A train wreck inside of a dumpster fire inside of a something else. So the upside is that Cook looked good Sunday. The rookie receiver, Justin Jefferson, looked great. The defense cannot defend anybody. And Kirk Cousins is not good enough to carry a bad team. They need to blow it up and start from scratch.
And I'm going to add to that. I disagree with none of that, what you guys are saying. I just want to add this. 5 seasons of ignoring offensive line problems.
Yeah. And the guy they picked up, their top offensive lineman, has not seen the field yet this year.
I think they're going to fire the general manager.
Yeah. It's pretty ugly, and it only gets better. They play Houston, which has an extremely fast quarterback, and then they get the Seattle Seahawks. So we'll see what they're made of.
If they play, John.
If they play. That's right. We've had our first cases with Tennessee Titans, and good Lord, who knows what's going on. But we got to hit the road. Thank you. That was a lot of good. Let's stay positive. It's hard to
do.
That's right. But let's stay positive.
All right. See you, folks.
See you later.